Hi, I'm Ron Olson. I'm glad to be here this morning with you and have a question for you. Do you remember the very best day of your life? You know, I've had some really good days in my life, but there are two days actually that really stand out above the rest. The first one was the birth of my first son, Timothy. And the second one was the birth of my twins, Paul and Aaron. You know, those were very awesome days. And they continue to be awesome memories because, you know, I'm very proud of my kids. It's easy to remember those kind of days because, you know, they leave lasting impressions upon our hearts and our minds. Unfortunately, the worst days of your life can also leave lasting impressions. And sometimes they leave deep scars and wounds. You know, I've had my fair share of bad days as well. And there's this one day that stands out among them. It was Christmas Eve, 1994. I was at a restaurant with two other people that I've only known for like a few weeks. And I was not with my wife, not with my kids, because about 2 months earlier, my divorce was made final. On one of the most important family days of the year, I was with strangers, and I felt very alone, out of place. It was just wrong, and it felt like I had abandoned my family. It was an awful feeling, and it hit me very hard because I know that it affected my kids. You know, in the days and the years to come, I did the best I could in the situation to make sure that my kids were loved and that they had a father, and, you know, that they were cared for and protected. And as I said, I'm very proud of my children. In spite of the divorce, Sherry and I did not allow our failures and our differences to overshadow our best interest for them. But not every child is as fortunate to have parents that love and care for them. Because the effects of being abandoned and unloved can be quite destructive and devastating to a child. You know, in 1989, the Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceausescu was overthrown. And the world discovered that 170,000 children were being raised in Romanian impoverished institutions. You know, as the children's plight became public, three research doctors from the United States, Nathan Fox, Charles Nelson, and Charles Zena, realized they had a unique opportunity to study the effects of early institutionalization. The study became known as the Budapest Project. Now, the first time Nathan Fox, who directs the Child Development Laboratory at the University of Maryland, stepped into a Romanian orphanage, he was struck by the silence. He said this, "The most remarkable thing about the infant room was how quiet it was, probably because the infants had learned that their cries were not responded to." You know, and after many years of study, Fox had seen enough evidence to draw hard conclusions. He said, "Children need to be in socially responsive situations. And I personally think that there aren't good institutions for young children. And with millions of children growing up in similar conditions," he adds this, "this is a worldwide public health issue." You know, the studies of these doctors revealed what I think we already know to be true, that a child that is unloved, that is isolated, will likely have emotional and social or physical problems in their life. Now, these issues and adverse effects on orphaned children are tragic for sure. But we have the same or similar situations with spiritual orphans in the world as well. Those who are estranged from their Heavenly Father. You know, the effects of being separated from God and not knowing or experiencing His love and grace can lead to a life of destruction, a life of fear and doubt, a life of bitterness and shame. I believe with all my heart that the world's woes and the main problems are because people are separated from God. See, it's just hard not to be dark when you're in darkness all the time. Now, there are many people who are trying to fix the things in our world through political or social or educational means. And I commend them for their efforts, and we need people like that. But the underlying problem is still a heart issue. Many people are evil and prideful and selfish because they're void of God's love, of God's grace. And I believe the answer is Jesus. Now, Jesus came to show us the way so that we could know that we are loved. You know, if you would take time to turn in your Bible to John chapter 14, we're going to look at what Jesus said about this very subject. John chapter 14, verses 18 through 26 says this: I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. The promise that Jesus gives us in this scripture is that he will not leave us as orphans, but he will always be with us in our lives, and that he will love us, and we will be loved, and we will learn to love. Now, the English word orphan comes from the Greek word orphanos, which means to be bereft of your father or parents. But it also can mean to be deprived of your guide or your teacher. Now, here's a key thought for today. The way of the unorphaned child is the way of Jesus. Very simple. The way of the unorphaned child is the way of Jesus. Now, if you're separated from God and not following Jesus, then you're an orphan of this world. But if you are following the way of Jesus, then you are a child of God. It's very simple. Unfortunately, most people are not following Jesus because the way of Jesus is not easy. In fact, it's actually pretty hard. Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life. And there are few who find it. See, Jesus is saying there are many ways that lead away from God to certain destruction. You have a variety of choices. Some choose success or money. Others choose fame or notoriety. Some choose drugs or alcohol or sex. And some choose a worthwhile cause such as save the planet. And as you can see, this path or the way of the world is wide. And many people are following this way. But it's a selfish way, and it leads you away from God into darkness. The way to life is a narrow path, and not many people find it. In truth, there is only one way, and that is Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6 says this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, most people are searching for something to fill the emptiness in their life. And so we seek after things or relationships to fill the void. And just so you know, we all have a void that needs to be filled. You know, someone once called this void a God-shaped hole that only he could fill. Now, honestly, You can stuff other things in that hole, but it doesn't quite fit. There's always gaps. See, God created us to have fellowship with him, and because of sin or pride or selfish desires, these things create an emptiness in our life because they separate us from God. But the way of Jesus fills that emptiness in our life so that we are no longer orphans. As a child of God, we have certain benefits and promises that we actually can claim. Jesus said and promised that the way of the unorphaned child is the resurrection to new life. John 14, verse 19 says, "In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too." See, Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room where they were having a Passover meal, right? In just a few hours, Jesus would be arrested, put on trial, and the next day he would be crucified on a cross. And then 40 days later, Jesus would ascend to the Father. See, this is what Jesus meant when he said that the world will no longer see me. See, the world is blind to the spiritual things of God. They could see him physically while on earth, but it takes more than just physical eyes to see Jesus as the Son of God. It takes faith. Initially, after the crucifixion, the disciples of Jesus were scattered. They were broken, which was totally understandable. But when Jesus revealed himself, first to Mary, and then to the travelers on the road to Emmaus, they believed, and they saw Jesus. And eventually, he revealed himself to all the disciples. And after Jesus ascended, they could still see him by faith as the Son of God. Now, Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live too." You know, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we also share in that life and the resurrection through faith. When Jesus was with Martha outside the tomb of her beloved brother Lazarus, Martha said to Jesus, we find that in John chapter 11, verse 21 through 25, she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Paul also says in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." See, our adoption into this new family means new life in Christ. And one day, it will mean a new resurrected body as well. Jesus also said that the way of the unorphaned child is a relationship with the Father. John 14, verses 20 says, "On that day you will know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you." Now, I believe that the day that Jesus is speaking about is the day of Pentecost, which was about 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven. This is when the Holy Spirit was given to all who believe, as promised by Jesus and prophesied by the prophet Joel. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17, 18, Peter's speaking here, and he's actually quoting the prophet Joel. "And it will be in that last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my Spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy." You know, before this time, the Holy Spirit was upon a few select people. But now all people who believe and trust in Jesus can have the Spirit of God in their life. And what this means is that we can now have an intimate relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus said, "On that day you will know that I am in the Father, You are in me, and I am in you. See, we are one with Jesus and with God through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. It is a relationship of love and trust and acceptance. Paul also says in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, Abba is the defining term for Father in the Aramaic language, spoken by Jesus, and Paul uses that as well as an intimate term to characterize their personal relationship with God. It's an endearing term that would be similar to us using the term daddy or papa. It denotes a loving and close relationship with God. You know, all my kids are adults now and over 30 years old, and they still call me Poppy. It's a title that defines our relationship, one of respect and love and trust. They know that they are loved. They can always come to me for whatever they may need. See, how much more will our Father in heaven love us when we cry out, Abba, Father? Thirdly, you know, the way of the unorphaned child is a revelation of truth. Verse 21 of John 14 says, the one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. You know, there are quite a few commandments that Jesus gave us to keep, such as to repent, to follow him, to let our light shine, to go the second mile, to love our enemies, to judge not, and to fear not. These are just a few of the commandments that Jesus gave us, which all center around loving God and loving others. And when we keep these commandments, it's an expression of our love and our devotion to Christ and to God. See, loving God is not just words that we say, but it should be reflected in our attitudes and our actions. When we love God, this means that we trust and believe in him. You know, the Apostle James said, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In the same way, by our obedience and trust in God, we show him just how much we love him. This obedience to the commands of Jesus leads us to the truth that is revealed in us through him. For example, when we obey the command to repent of our sin, which is to turn away from our pride, turn away from our self-righteousness and our disobedience, then we can begin to forgive others and accept forgiveness. And by doing so, we can know and experience the love of God in our life. You know, one day, Jesus was talking to some of the Jews who actually believed in him. And he said to them, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will, what? Set you free. You know, freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want, whenever you want. See, that's a lie. And that's bondage to sin and to the world. People who live this kind of life is living in darkness and are void of the truth. But when we follow Jesus and obey his words, then we are free from all the things that keep us enslaved to sin. Finally, the way of the unorphaned child is the restoration of our home. Verse 23 of John 14 says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, our home is a place that we feel safe and secure, or at least we should feel safe and secure. See, our home is more than just the four walls that separate us from the outside. It's our relationship with our family. It's the surroundings we're familiar with that make our house a home. You know, I do enjoy traveling to see my kids or my mom, but when I get back home, it just feels good to sleep in my own bed because it's my home. And when we make the decision to follow Jesus, then we have a place that we can find rest and peace in our life. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burden, and I will give you rest. It's a place that we can call home. It's a safe and secure place because our Heavenly Father is there watching over us, caring for us, protecting us. See, this world is not our home. And honestly, I think we have become too comfortable in this place. We must continually remind ourselves that we are strangers. We are foreigners in this world, and we're just journeying through it. And our home is with God. You know, this was King David's request that he dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27:4 says, I have asked one thing from the Lord, is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. See, God is calling us to open up our hearts, to allow him to dwell with us, to restore the brokenness in our lives back to a healthy life, to a healthy home. You know, the promise that Jesus would never leave us as orphans is fulfilled through the promise of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, he says, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our counselor. He's our advocate and our connection to the Father and to the Son. But honestly, most Christians are afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's a mystery, and they don't know how or what to make of him. You know, the Celtic Christians have a name for the Holy Spirit that is quite unique and interesting, and they call him the wild goose. Actually, I think this is an awesome image of the Holy Spirit. The name suggests the mysterious nature of the Holy Spirit. Much like a wild goose, the Spirit of God can't be tracked or tamed. You know, there's an element of danger and an air of unpredictability of surrounding him. And while the name may sound a bit, childish, I think it gives a good description of what it's like to pursue the Holy Spirit's leading through your life. It's like a wild goose chase. I wonder if we actually have clipped the wings of our wild goose and settled for something much less than what God originally intended for us to have. You know, the way of the unorphaned child is the way of Jesus. It's the resurrection to new life. It's a relationship with the Father. It's a revelation of the truth. And it's the restoration of our home. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the challenge for you is to say yes to Jesus. It's very simple. And to be adopted into this awesome family of God. You know, I have so many brothers and sisters in Christ that, you know, that I can just rely on, that I can talk to, that I, you know, can laugh with. It's a great family. Now, if you're part of this family, perhaps you need to renew your relationship and draw closer to God. Maybe you have some brokenness in your life. Do you let Jesus, you know, you let Jesus heal your heart and your mind? See, you don't have to be an orphan anymore.